Thank you for tuning in to the Cerrito House of Worship. It is our hope and belief that God will speak to you through His Word today. He is able to do far more than you could ask or even imagine.
Well, in a few minutes, we're going to have communion. But before, I saw this song, and it really is quite beautiful and talks about communion. And so I want to share it with you before we actually have communion. So their lyrics in the song is "Come to the Table." So we all start on the outside looking in. This is where grace begins. We were hungry, we were thirsty, with nothing left to give. Oh, the shape that we were in, and just when all hope seemed lost, love opened the door for us. He said, "Come to the table. Come to join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table." And they're serving right now, so you'll be having your communion in just a moment. It says, "Come to meet this motley crew of misfits, these liars and these thieves. There's no one unwelcome here, and that sin and shame that you brought with you, you can leave it at the door. Let mercy draw you near. So come to the table. Come join the sinners who have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table." To the thief and to the doubter, to the hero and the coward, to the prisoner and the soldier, to the young and to the older, all who hunger, all who thirst, all the last and all the first, all the paupers and the princes, all who fail, you have been forgiven, all who dream and all who suffer, all who loved and lost another, all the chained and all the free, all who follow, all who lead, anyone who's been let down, all the lost, you have been found, and who've been labeled right or wrong, to everyone who hears this song, come to the table. Come join the sinners, you have been redeemed. Take your place beside the Savior. Sit down and be set free. Sit down and be set free. Come to the table. So it's a beautiful song. And it's sang beautifully too, but I just wanted to share those words with you because, you know, sometimes we forget just how precious that time was when we came to the Lord. And, you know, it means so much. God sacrificed His life through His Son to give us a hope, to give us a future, to give us a life that was going to make a difference for us. And that we that believe need to be sharing the love of our Lord with others. We need to be able to be that light and show people that there is hope. And it's through all your testimonies, all through that you have lived through. You know, too often we find shame in what our life was like. But we have to remember that God redeemed us, and He restored us, He renewed us, and that's the hope we can give to others. And it's so important that, you know, we don't just sit by the side and think, you know what, I'm old now, I'm retired. We never retire from sharing the love of our Lord. We always are going to be ready to speak forth all that He has. And you know what, sometimes it's not even speaking. Sometimes it's just doing. It's sharing, it's loving, it's giving. It's allowing us to show people that God thinks of them and that He is, you know, here. Whether we feed somebody, we share with somebody, we spend time with people. Maybe, you know, it's going to the hospital and being with someone you love. Recently, I had a friend. She was turned 100 last Monday. And well, she would have turned 100, but she celebrated in heaven. And as much as I was sad that she's no longer here, my joy is that she knew the Lord. And we got to rejoice in that. And, you know, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. And it was just beautiful, you know, spending time with her and seeing her when she passed. Her countenance was beautiful. And we knew where she was going. And, you know, we have to have peace in that, even though we miss the person. You know, so it's just a matter of that. Enjoy who you have with you, around you, and learn to forgive. You know, forgiveness is not a feeling. It's a decision. And, you know, when you make the choice, God chose us and he forgave us, and he died on that cross and suffered a horrible death so that we would be set free and so that we would have a life that was in abundance. And so just know that, you know, there isn't any situation that God can't redeem, restore, renew, refresh. It's just we have to be available to him to forgive. And maybe you'll never have a relationship with that person again, but it's okay because God can heal you and then he can work on that other person. And if it turns out that he restores your relationship, that's even better. But just know that, you know, God knows what needs to be done and how it needs to be done. And when you least expect it, he shows up in a way that is just, you stand in awe of who he is. And, you know, my mom used to say, she says, yeah, I drank the wine of astonishment. And it's because he can give us joy when we didn't think that there was joy to be had again. And so if you'd all stand with me, we'll have communion. So, and Jesus took the bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So if you could take the bread, please. And then he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. So if you could please take the cup. Praise God. So let this be a day of joy. Let this be a day of renewal. Let it be a day that you reach out to others and show the love of our Lord. And be just know that he surrounds you and he loves you. He adores you. And know that God is with us wherever we go, wherever we set foot, take the land for the, you know, for our kingdom, and know that he is always with you. So thank you. And now let's go back into our worship. Thank you.
I felt like I needed to get up here. I don't know. I'm sure you all were in the same place as I was, but how these songs that God gave the worship team, how they all seem to just kind of blend together, right? It's talking about God's faithfulness. It's talking about God's love. And sometimes, maybe you're not like me, but sometimes I feel that I'm not given everything I can for him. And yet, that doesn't change who he is for me. Even when we're not faithful, he is. And the good part about all that is that we may be looking at this in the works area. There's not enough stuff we can do to repay what our Lord did on that cross. So don't even try. Just give him everything you got. Give him every little bit that's in your heart. And he's going to fill you with much more. And so it was just when I see how God gave this worship team that music, is, you know, that this isn't just you do this and you do that and we'll see how it works out. God's got this morning planned out for her. And whatever our Abe has to say today, it's going to blend right along with the heart that's been put out this morning through the music that this team put out. So be prepared to walk away with a lot more than you walked in this morning. And the other good part is that even though we have an Abe talking, we got a preparation for another little guy that's going to keep on doing what Abe does. Come on, Ben. Ben's got something to say.
He wanted to share number 624, which is a favorite of Pastor John. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
Okay.
The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
But it's going to be okay.
gonna be all right. You just stay close to me. I could tell you more, but I'm not gonna go there. This entire set has been about God's goodness. And He is good. Oh, good. When the camels used to go, good. Not everybody remembers that. But the Lord is good. He's faithful. His promises are forever. They're forever. You know, I know that when it's time for any one of us to go, everything's going to be done. It's going to be in your life. God is preparing you now for something that happens later. You may have to face some things bigger than you ever thought you'd have to face. But I know that's what God does with us. He takes the weak things of the world and does incredible things with them. So don't give up. I had to tell myself that this week. Don't give, just forget that stuff. Back, get back. I'm going on in my God. Who's next? Mr. Abe, you ready?
Yeah, I was told once that nobody likes a dry preacher. I don't know. Do you remember somebody saying that? Was that you? Nobody likes a dry preacher, so that's why I brought my water.
Come on.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah, that was me.
All right, well, thank you, worship team. Before we get started, let's go ahead and pray. You can stand with me if you like. Lord, I just ask that you help us to hear what your message is today. Lord, that it's not just another Sunday, that we're not just going through a routine, that God, it's meaningful and it's life-changing. Lord, just let me only speak what it is you want me to speak. Let your word come alive to these people and to me. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
All right. You know, I want to start out saying I feel a little weird because normally I dress up a little bit when I'm preaching. Yeah. But this is probably the most comfortable I'm in. There's a reason I'm dressed like this. Okay. If you looked at me, what could you say about me?
Suns fan.
Suns fan, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm disappointed a lot. but yeah, you can look at me and you can see I'm a Suns fan. And I've been one since like the mid-90s. Okay. All right? So been a while. Been a minute. Never saw him win a championship. Like I said, used to disappointment. Thing is like I've watched a lot of games over the years on TV. Got to see some in person, right? And this year was a little bit more difficult because like now everything's on streaming, right? Unless where I live, the antenna doesn't work so well, right? So I'm like, I'm not going to pay that extra money to get the ad-free live TV or whatever. So I didn't really see that many games this year. They got swept in the playoffs, right? But the thing is like, you know, there was also a gap of years where I didn't really follow them so much. But as a fan, you know, it's up to me to set my level of commitment, right? As a fan, I could say I could watch as many games as I want. I could spend as much money as I want on it. I could, you know, just invest however much time I want into it. I can learn as much as I want about the team. I can know their stats, right? I could know who the coach is, and you know I could talk about them however I want, and whoever they're playing against, I could talk about them however I want, right? I could do that. But imagine if I actually worked for the Suns, right? Do you think they'd let me talk however I want? Have the same level of commitment? I could just, I'll show up on Thursday maybe, and that'll be my work for the week, right? I don't think that they would keep me for very long. Do you? Yeah? No. Right? And certainly if I was acting crazy all the time, I mean, why is that? Because when I'm a part of that organization, I would also be a representative for them. Right? So I'm pretty sure you know where I'm going with this, right?
Yeah.
Yeah? All right. Okay, because most Sundays I wear a shirt, says something, in Christianese.
Yeah.
Like some phrase or something, right? Jesus loves you. Yeah. You are God's masterpiece. I just wear all these, be a light, be the light. So it's like all these things that I wear. And you know what? Just like, a fan can say, if you're a Cats fan, it's like, bear down, go Cats, right? Woo! You can be a Christian and say all the right things too. Praise God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Amen. Preach it. Tell them, right? You can sound just like you belong.
Amen.
Right?
Yeah.
But if you're just a fan, do you really have any lasting impact on that organization? Nope. What you do have is you just do your thing and you watch your game and then you're done for the day, right?
Right.
Well, is that how it should be with us as Christians?
No.
Should we just say I have Sundays to go watch the service, right? And then I could say amen, I could say hallelujah, don't stop. It's good. but I could say that and it could be empty and hollow because I don't really have the power of Jesus behind what I'm saying. There's a level of commitment that God expects from us. Yeah. And it's important that we know what that is. In Luke chapter 14, and this is verses 25 to 28, it says this: a large crowd was following Jesus. He turned around and said to them, "If you want to be my disciple, you must, by comparison, hate everyone else, your father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, even your own life. Otherwise, you can't be my disciple. And if you do not carry your own cross and follow me, you cannot be my disciple. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there's enough money to finish it?" There is a cost to following. Now, the thing is you could be saved.
Oh, yeah.
Right? That is a free gift of God. There is nothing you can do, and we'll talk about that later. But there's nothing you can do to get yourself into heaven. It's only what Jesus did on the cross that gets us there. By us believing in what his son did for us. His sacrifice, the life he lived. Because it's not just the cross. It's all the time before that. If he didn't live a perfect life, it would have been meaningless. He'd be just like the two people beside him. Just another person dying on a cross. The question is also when you come to church, what kind of expectation do you have? Do you look for I want a word from God today. I want God to speak directly to me. I want somebody to stand up in the audience and look at me and is like, "Hey Abe, you know what?" And then speak over me. I mean, that's nice. But when you come in, are you looking to learn something? Or are you just doing it out of routine? Like, you know, on Sundays, we go to church. Right. Why do you go to church? Learn. Ask yourself, why do you go to church? Okay. And then ask yourself, if you're there for that reason, like let's say you're going there to learn, right? What do you do to make sure you do learn? Like, are you fooling yourself? Or are you being honest with yourself? Like, I am going to learn. I'm going to be engaged. I'm not going to get distracted. I'm going to be somebody who actually listens to those words and thinks about how it affects my life. I'm actually going to think about those words and see. It's like, okay, you know what? This is how I serve you better, God, if I follow this. That I'm not just somebody who is just hearing words, right?
Right.
Besides, you know, being an awesome teacher. Nobody laughed. That's good, I guess. I'm also a well-read man. I read this biography of Bob Ross. It's a little golden book. yeah. So there was this part I read in here, and I thought, wow, that's interesting. It sounds like something I've heard before. So Bob Ross. People are familiar with him, right? What do you teach people to do? Right? Right, PBS, taught people how to paint. And he's thought, you know, the painting's great. I want to be everybody to be able to paint. So I'm going to teach them how to do it. I'm going to show them all within just like one episode of TV, like 30 minutes, whatever, that they can paint a picture. And then it says this on here. It says, Bob explained his process step by step so that viewers could paint along with him. But many people tune in simply to watch Bob and listen to his calm, soothing voice as he painted his happy little trees. So, like, how many people actually watched Bob Ross but never painted a painting with him? Right? Okay. Kind of weird, right? I mean, if he's teaching to paint, why aren't you going along with it? Because you like the way he talks. It's the sounds of the paintbrush and that little blade on there. It's very soothing, right? His voice was soothing, calming. But then it reminds me of this verse in Ezekiel. Chapter 33, verses 30 to 32. And it says this, it says, Son of man, your people talk about you in their houses and whisper about you at the doors. They say to each other, come on, let's go hear the prophet tell us what the Lord is saying. So my people come pretending to be sincere and sit before you. They listen to your words, but they have no intention of doing what you say. Their mouths are full of lustful words and their hearts seek only after money. And this is God speaking to his prophet. And it says, you are very entertaining to them. Like someone who sings love songs with a beautiful voice or plays fine music on an instrument. They hear what you say, but they don't act on it. So, when you hear God's word, it's not just for you to hear. It's not something just to make you feel better, which it can, right? Because there are many things in there that are soothing. There are things that are calming. There are things that take the anxiety away. But you know what? If you're just listening and you're not believing what it's going to say, and then you're also not acting what it's going to say, it's pretty much just for the moment then. You'll be calm for the moment. You'll be at peace for a moment. But when the world comes back to you and you have to like be in it and live your life and you're not living by what God's asking you to do, you will come back to reality where it's like, ugh, like this is terrible. I'm anxious. I'm depressed. I don't know what to do. And it's because you don't really have a connection with God. You just have this thing where you're just like, well, you know, it sounds good. And I'm at peace now for this moment. You know, I go to church on Sundays. It helps me get through the week. And then I go back the next Sunday and it helps me get through the week. It's like that relationship. I mean, we have a thing over the door that it says independently dependent upon God. And that's something that we need to do. We actually need to understand and recognize that we have to be dependent on God. That he's we're not just listening for just hearing things, okay? This isn't a TED Talk. This isn't motivational speaking. This is to change the way you live. And it's not just to do it because that's what God expects of you. That's what God wants. Okay? He does expect those things, and he does want that, but he wants that because he wants to see you living a life that's fulfilled and rich. So I just want to read this here. And this is, I know probably a lot of people's favorites book of the Bible, Ecclesiastes. And it's chapter 5, verse 1. And this is the first time this one really stood out to me. And it's talking about, like, people going to church, right? Guard your steps and focus on what you're doing as you go to the house of God. And draw near to listen rather than to offer the careless or irreverent sacrifice of fools. For they are too ignorant to know what they are doing evil. Okay. So the main thing to focus on here is this. Focus on what you're doing when you go to the house of God. This shouldn't be just some place to gather like it's a social club. There's something more to this. Yes. There's power in this.
Amen. Yes.
We can pray for one another.
Yes.
We can build up and encourage one another.
Yes.
And if we don't have that connection or that relationship, that unity, then we're just wasting our time. You know, I'll be honest today, too. Guard your steps and focus on what you're doing as you go to the house of God. Little silly things can mess with you when you're on the way to the house of God. I'll tell you, that actually happened to me today, driving in. A little silly thing, right? For about the first half of my drive, it is a... like one lane in each direction, right? Kind of road. Not really many places to pass. And of course, it happens to be somebody right in front of me going 10 to 15 miles under the speed limit the entire time. And one thing about me is, like, driving, I have to tell myself, be calm, you know? Not that I'm like crazy. I'm like, I got to get through a rock. The thing is like, I was just thinking to myself, it's like, you know, it's kind of silly that I'm getting upset.
Right.
I mean, not really. I mean, they should be going the speed limit. That's their fault. Just kidding. First of all, let's pray for that guy that he's able to go the speed limit. No, but the thing is like, you know, I had this thought, is like, how silly am I? Like, thinking is like, doesn't this guy know I need to get to the church so I can print the bulletins? You know, it's this thing where it could, like, this little thing took my focus off of God for a moment,
right?
Like, I was supposed to be here to preach God's word, and I'm worried about a guy going 10 to 15 miles under the speed limit. You know, it's this thing where we have to make sure we keep our eyes on God, and that, you know, when we see other people, we don't see them as obstacles. We just see them as an image bearer of God. Like that person, it's like, who knows? Maybe it was difficult for them to drive, right? Maybe they had some things that kind of hindered them from going faster, right? And like, it's at least they have their freedom still. And by me making it about myself, I'm taking away the value from them. It's like, you know what? I'm more important. You need to get out of my way so I can do what I need to do. Don't you know what I'm doing? No, it's not right. I mean, we all have the same value, right? Okay. God died, you know, Jesus, he died on the cross for all of us, even for people who don't believe, right? It's up to them to make the choice, but he did it in hopes that they would make the right choice. I also think about just like how easy it is to lose sight of what's important. I don't have to worry about like if my kid's gonna eat or not, right? I don't need to rely on God for that. That he's clothed or he needs, you know, that we need shelter or anything like that. I saw something earlier. It is like, it was really hard to watch, but, I don't know if you know this, but in Nigeria right now, there are Christians that are facing terrible persecution. I saw a mother who was crying. She was talking about how her children were just slaughtered in front of her. And I'm just thinking, you know what? I can go to church and I don't have to worry about that. I don't have to worry about, like I said, is my kid's going to eat. And you know, the crazy thing is I looked this up. And there's this calculator to tell you, like, how rich are you in the world, right? In the U.S., it says I'm below 50%, okay? Close to 40. And, I'm like, okay, that tracks. But then I looked how wealthy I was in the world. I'm in the top 9%. And you know, there are warnings against us getting comfortable where we're at. Kind of jumping ahead here. So this is in Deuteronomy, and it's chapter 8. And this is verses 11 through 18. And this is when God's talking to Israel about the promised land. And he says, he's talking about all the wonderful things that they're going to have. And it says, but that is the time to be careful. Beware that in your plenty, you do not forget the Lord, your God, and disobey his commands, regulations, and decrees that I'm giving you today. For when you have become full and prosperous and have built fine homes to live in, and when your flocks and herds have become very large and your silver and gold have multiplied along with everything else, be careful. Do not become proud at that time and forget the Lord your God who rescued you from slavery in the land of Egypt. Do not forget that he led you through the great and terrifying wilderness with his poisonous snakes and scorpions, where it was so hot and dry. He gave you water from the rock. He fed you with manna in the wilderness, a food unknown to your ancestors. He did this to humble you and test you for your own good. He did all of this so you would never say to yourself, I have achieved this wealth with my own strength and energy. Remember the Lord your God. He is the one who gives you power to be successful in order to fulfill the covenant confirmed to your ancestors with an oath. So don't forget who God is. If you're comfortable, okay? It's very easy in this country to be somebody who becomes comfortable. So when you actually come to church, make sure you're coming to church where you're thinking about your focus is truly on God. Everything you have comes from God. Everything. Your life, the breath in your lungs, your ability to do whatever it is you do as a job or however you help people, the things that you know, the things that you're capable of, it all comes from God. Even if you practiced it, still that you're able to do so It comes from God. You know, we're talking about that like level of commitment. I mean, the things that we have to give to God are what? We have our time, we have our money, you know, we have a relationship, right? How are there any of those things that you're guarding way too much? Like, if you are honest with yourself, is there anything where you thought you were going to do something and you're like, no, I'm not going to do that? You know, because like a big one's like time commitments, right? You know, I used to do this thing here where I would, it's called a ministry minute, where I just talk and like say, okay, these ministries need help, right? And it's not something we really do anymore, but, you know, the thing is like, my goal and my passion is to get people to actually do something within the church. Okay. It's this thing where like, I cannot explain to you the level of joy and the level of peace and fulfillment that I get from doing what I believe God has called me to do. And if I could get somebody just to start on that path, I know it'll be so much better for them. I know that like if they ever felt like something was missing in their life, that all of a sudden it's going to be filled. There's going to be nothing missing. That thing is like, you know, I go to church. I don't meet anybody. I don't have any peace unless I'm there. Right. It's this thing. It's like, it'll happen when you start being the person God created you to be. So here's the difference between paying attention and not paying attention when you're in church, right? Because one thing I talked about was talking about like, you know, when you're here, are you here to learn? Are you here to actually be engaged? It's when you start, maybe not so much about paying attention, but it's like when you start actually living the things out that you were learning in church, or just even on your own time, reading the Bible, studying the word, or at a Bible study. Isaiah 48:17 says this, this is what the Lord says, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel. I am the Lord, your God, who teaches you what is best for you, who directs you in the way you should go. If only you had to pay attention to my commands, your peace would have been like a river, your well-being like the waves of the sea. Could you imagine that? Like, just paying attention to the commands, your peace would have been like a river. What do rivers do? They just constantly flow. And your well-being like the waves of the sea. Has anybody been to the sea?
Yep.
Has anybody seen waves?
Yep.
There's a lot of them. Right? There's a lot.
Yeah.
You know, it's, I say this time and time again, God isn't looking to find a way to punish us. Like, you broke the rules, now I get to punish you. Right? He's giving all this because he is the creator of the universe, and he knows how our lives would best go if we lived a certain way. Right? So the thing is like, he wants you to have the best possible life. But the only way to do that is to live like God's actually asked you to live. Okay. You know, following God isn't like a job. Okay. It's not like work. It's not something where you're just there for the paycheck. Right. Okay. Some people love their jobs. Right. And they feel fulfilled by it. And all of us should work as we're working under the Lord. Okay. Don't miss that. But the thing is a lot of times, like, even when I'm at work, I was like, hey, look, you know, when you go home, leave this place behind. Don't focus on this place. Okay. This is just a job. You should be with your family. Think about your family, right? There's a lot of reasons for that. But the thing is you should really have this mindset of like, You're following God because you love him, right? It says that he loved us first. Do you know how much he truly loves you? I mean, we cannot imagine how much love he has for us. He knows the number of hairs on our head. He's seen all of our tears. He knows our prayers before we even ask. Before this world was even created, he had you in mind with the purpose. I mean, to think about that is like, just me? Me? Like, you find me that important? It's like, yes. And you, right? He finds you that important. He loves you that much. That he created you and he thought about you. And he said, you know what? I'm going to make Aaron.
Yes.
And he's going to sit in the front row.
Woo!
And he's going to be the most awesome, encouraging guy on earth. And there he is, right?
Yeah.
So the thing is like, how do we become who we need to become, right? You know, because the thing is like, this is really sad. I saw this, there's a lot of like Christian content creators who were commenting on this, but there's this really big podcaster and his name is Theo Von. I don't know if anybody's heard of him, but he was talking, this guy was just talking, he was like, talking about like, how do I just live life? And this is just difficult for me. He's like, it came on to like, he was praying to God, right? And he didn't say Jesus. This guy, you know, Theo Von, he's like, yeah, I pray to God and, you know, I ask him and I'm like, you know, I ask him to change me even in those places that I try to keep hidden. And then he's like, and then I think about it as, oh, we're cutting. All right. So where he's just thinking about like, do I even want to change? Like he feels like I really need to change. But do I really want to give that up? That part of me, that part of my life. And change can be scary, right? But the thing is a lot of times those things that we're holding on to are holding us back. And we do need to give those up. And we don't realize how I was talking about, like, God loves us so much that when we give up those things, we're going to get something greater. God is a great father. The best. There is no father greater than him. And we may not have seen, like, good examples of fathers sometimes. Where we can, you know, understand that, like, he always has our best interests at heart, that he's always going to do the best for us. He's going to set us up in the best possible way for success. It's this thing where, like, we need to really understand is, like, you just got to let go of some stuff. And what God has for you is better. So like, when there's that time you don't want to give up to God, or when then there's that money you don't want to give to God, Or you don't want to have that relationship time with God. You don't want to know him more. If you start to know him more, you start to be more generously giving freely, like with a good heart. Cause like he only wants you giving if you're going to be cheerful about it. He looks at your heart. If you, same thing with your time. Okay. All right. If you start doing that, and you're going to change in a way that's going to benefit you in areas you don't even imagine, right? Yeah. You're going to have things happen for you that you couldn't even imagine. One of my favorite verses is Ephesians 2:10, but Ephesians 2:8 through 10 is a really good summary of what our life is to be about. Okay. It says this, God saved you by his grace when you believed. Okay, so first of all, you're saved because you believed. And you can't take credit for this. It is a gift from God. Okay, so there's people that want to hold that title of Christian over other people's heads like I'm better than you. You didn't earn that. Okay, that is something that was given to you as a gift. And that's something you should be looking to give as a gift to somebody else and tell them, hey, you know what? You could be the same. You could have this Savior and he's going to change your life. Yeah. Right? Yeah. And then it says, salvation is not a reward for the good things we have done, so none of us can boast about it. Okay, so all the good things that we do, we shouldn't be doing it thinking that's what's going to get us into heaven. It says, for we are God's masterpiece. He has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Okay, so like, do we have a lot of people that like believe in Jesus in here? I hope so. Woo! Okay, Pastor, you keeping track? Yeah. We got, yeah. We're going to have an altar call, all those, you know, except Jesus. But so that everybody raised your hand, and maybe some of you didn't. You are God's masterpiece. Yeah. If you believe in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, yeah. Right? And what has he done? He's created us anew in Christ Jesus. Yeah. You just do that, just do it? No, he said, so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. You were saved for a purpose. Okay? Yeah. The thing is like living a life without purpose is pretty sad. It's depressing. That's why God gives us purpose. He knows how fulfilled you'll be if you have that purpose. And the thing is like nobody can say that you are not necessary because God says you are. God says that you have a purpose. Don't let anybody tell you otherwise. And tell other people if they don't believe they have a purpose. It's like, I can't because, you know, this and that and this. It's like, if you're a believer, who dwells in you? You are empowered by the Holy Spirit to do whatever it is God has called you to do. So the thing is like you have to have this mindset of you're saved, right? You were saved not because of anything you did, but because of what Jesus did for you on the cross. Yeah. And that salvation is not a reward, right? For all the good things you did. So that none of us can feel like we are superior to somebody else. But then also know that you were made new. Don't think about the past you. You know, on a daily basis, in just a moment, okay, second by second, however small time, milliseconds, however small fraction of time you could get, you have the ability to be forgiven. You already are forgiven. When Jesus died on the cross, he forgave you for everything that's been done.
That's right.
Everything you will do. Doesn't mean you keep on sinning. So the thing is like it says there, it says you're created new in Christ Jesus so we can do the good things he planned for us long ago. So how do you find out what it is you specifically are supposed to do with your life? Read your word. That's one. Pray. Right? It's having that close personal relationship with God. It's knowing God. Okay. Cause imagine I have plans, right? All right. But let's say I don't tell them to Micaiah. Is she going to know what my plans are?
No.
Why not? Okay. And what? And you know, the wild thing is like, God's always speaking to us, but are you always listening? It's just like walking into church, you know, with a purpose, right? Like, I'm going to learn today. Not only am I going to learn today, but I'm going to see what I can do for God, too. Like, Lord, I'm going to worship you. I'm not going to do that just because, like, you know, I needed people to see how Christian I am, right? How holy I am. What I'm going to do is I'm going to worship because I love God. Okay? I'm gonna pray for this person over here because they told me they're having a hard time. They weren't feeling well, right? I'm gonna go encourage somebody. I'm gonna read a scripture. I'm gonna find the scripture for this person. It's like, hey, you know what? Let's stand on this scripture together, okay? We're going to believe in this together for you. Like, I'm not coming to church just to be somebody who's spectating. I'm pointing at an empty chair, so so nobody feels called out, right? I'm not going to be here just as something that's pointless and meaningless. Because the same thing happens with a fan at a game, right? You can hoot and holler, yell, cheer, get your hot dog, right? And then you leave. Okay? Win or lose, you leave. Go home. You had a great experience. But are you going to really remember all that experience years down the road? Probably not. Right? But if you come to church with the right mindset, there could be just this one little thing that you put into your life and you start living out in your life, and it completely changes the course and direction of where you were headed. So, and this is John 15, verse 9. I love this. It's because it's a parable of the vine and the vine dresser. There's so much good information in there about, you know, how we should live our lives, how we're fruitful, like the things that we do actually do good in this world, right? Okay, because like I could just, like me right here, like I could just be talking, right? But if I'm not doing it with the Holy Spirit, if I'm not saying, you know, I'm going to say whatever God wants me to say, it's going to be useless, meaningless. Like I said before, it could be just like a TED talk, right? Like, woo, okay, forget it, you know, after a week or so. The thing is like fruit should be lasting. Everything we do, we should try to do it in a way. We should work to do it in a way that reflects well on God and who he is. Because that could be something that helps somebody else out. Somebody who believes and somebody who doesn't believe. And somebody who needs to know God, you might be like this cliche, but like you might be the only God that they see, right? So, or only whatever. You're not really God, you know that. But you might be the only reflection of who Jesus is, right? You may be the only experience they ever have. They might have had bad experiences with Christians. Like I know a lot of people who told me that, right? Personally. And I luckily, like there was this guy I worked with, he's retired now. He told me some things about like somebody who was a Christian, and it's just like it wrecked him, right? He was just like actively like angry and just like attacking to Christianity and Christians in general. And then like, he met me. I'm not saying I'm the reason, but he met me and he told me one time, he's like, you know what, Abe? He's like, I see you every Wednesday going to, you know, youth group and teaching there. And, you know, I know that, you know, it's not always easy. He's like, especially after being here for like 10 hours. And it's like, so, you know, I find that that's really something great. And then also like he knew how I treated people, right? So like because of the way I acted, it completely changed his perspective on who Christians were, right? So it's important that at all times we're actually this person that shows somebody is like this, you know what? Christ is the way. That you know, he really does change lives. He really does, like make your circumstances better, right? Like, and even if they're bad, you'll be able to endure them. Because you know at the end there is hope that is gonna work out. That it's not meaningless, that there is purpose. But it says here, it says, I've loved you even as the Father has loved me. And this is Jesus speaking. It says, remain in my love. When you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. How many times did we hear in the Bible where Jesus said something? He's like, I only say what my Father wants me to say. I only do what the Father wants me to do, right? We should be of that same mindset. I mean, he's like, he lived the perfect life. He lived life perfectly. So he should be like the standard we should look to is like, well, how am I supposed to treat people? I mean, look how he evangelized people, right? Did he yell at them?
No.
Scream at them?
No.
No, I remember him flipping the tables in a synagogue of people that, you know, were, you know, believers, right? Okay. But like, look at the woman in the well, the lady caught in adultery. How do you treat them? Zacchaeus, he's like, get down in front of that tree. I'm going to stay with you tonight, right? Okay. He had a different way of treating people. Okay. And, you know, sometimes we don't follow his example, right? Look at the Sermon on the Mount, all the things he said, bless your enemies, do not curse them. Right? That's a hard one. Okay. So, look at this as it goes on. Okay, obedience doesn't usually make me think about this, but it says, when you obey my commandments, you remain in my love, just as I obey my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you these things so that you will be filled with my joy. Yes, your joy will overflow. Okay? He's not asking you to obey just because he wants to keep you oppressed, keep you away from all the fun things. No, he wants you to obey so you'll be filled with joy. And whose joy? His joy. Okay, not your joy. Okay, his joy. It's kind of, you know, it's this other thing too, is like the world will tell you that being obedient doesn't lead to joy, right? What do you usually have to do to have joy? You have to be a rule breaker, right? You have to do the things that maybe aren't acceptable in society, right? They ask you to do all these things, and it's like, no. Be obedient to God. You'll find joy. Amen. Not just any joy, his joy.
Amen. That's right.
So, One last thing here. This is Ephesians also, and this is chapter 4, verses 11 through 16. And it says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church. Okay, he calls them gifts. The apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. Their responsibility is to equip God's people to do his work and build up the church. So when you come to church, you're being equipped. You're being built up. But why? To do his work. This will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. I'll tell you, there's a lot of new teaching out there.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm not talking about, like, you know, stuff that would be considered like outside the church. I mean, there's some wild out there stuff that shouldn't belong. But like what I'm talking about is, like, there are people out there that say, like, you know, I know this new hidden thing, or like conspiracy theories are really big. Right? There's people that don't believe that we went around the moon. There's people that believe that, you know, the whole Trump attempt on his life, the recent one, was a conspiracy. And the thing is like, we get caught up in these things of like trying to prove it right or wrong, where we completely lose our focus on God. It's a distraction. Okay? Don't get distracted. You're supposed to focus on God and God alone. Okay. There's a lot of things that we could argue about that's meaningless. And instead, what we're supposed to do is be built up to do work that God has planned for us to do. we can actually change the world. We have that power living inside of us. It could be just one person in this church has one thing to offer that completely changes thousands of lives, millions of lives. There's no telling what lies in each one of us, what it is that God has purposed out, but we have to be accepting of it. We have to say, God, send me. I'll do what you called me to do. God, show me what it is I'm supposed to do. We have to be willing, though. I mean, he's not just going to like force us into it. You know, maybe there's times he'll get a fish to swallow us up and take us somewhere, but yeah, that's pretty rare. It's only one time I read about that in the Bible. But the thing is like we need to focus on God. We need to focus on his plan. We need to focus on, like, when we're in church, you're getting built up. Okay. It's not just, like I said, an attendance thing. So it says, then we will no longer be like immature children. We won't be tossed and blown about everyone in new teaching. We will not be influenced when people try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Instead, we will speak the truth in love. Okay. Remember, when you speak the truth, speak it in love. Okay. Don't be somebody who uses it as some hateful thing, some mean, spiteful thing to attack somebody. Speak the truth in love. Growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church, which is us. Not this building, which is us together. We are the church. Amen. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly, as each part does its own special work. You are, each one of you are your own special part. Okay? You have your own work to do. Maybe it's not in the walls of the church. Maybe there's something out there that you are called to do. But the thing is like, you need to do it, right? It helps the other parts grow. So as each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. So, you know, what we need to do is we need to get away from being just fans. If that's how any of us are living our life right now, we need to get away from being part of a fandom where what we say, what we do has no meaningful impact. Instead, we need to be focused on the kingdom and what God's given us to do so that we build it. We build with something that's going to be meaningful and eternal. If you would, stand with me. And let's close in prayer. God, I just ask that you help us to hear your words today, whether your scriptures opened up to us. God, you help us to be somebody who is devoted to you. Lord, that we love you, we find a good relationship with you, that we're not just somebody who is doing something out of a ritual, but God, that we become closer to you. Lord, let your words penetrate our heart in a way that maybe hasn't happened before. God, let it be something where we actually act on these things, that we're not just thinking it's just something we hear that sounds nice, but God, that it is something that is changing, life-changing for us and for the others around us, so that we build each other up, that we show each other love, and that, God, we just do whatever it is you put us on this earth to do. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. All right.
Thank you for joining us today. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the Word of Christ. We encourage you to keep listening and keep reading the Word of God. You can connect with us at welcometotheshow.org to learn more about our church and how you can get involved. Until next week, God bless.